Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How liberal are you? Too loaded of a question? Perhaps I should qualify it a little bit more. How liberal are you with the Word of God? Today's text for our sermon is the parable of the sower, and for as much as we want to focus on the types of soil that the sower threw those seeds into, today we're going to focus on the sower himself, and the sower is Jesus. And for as much as he has been teaching the people, he has not found much success. The Pharisees are against him. The crowds, they don't want anything to do with him. They don't believe in him. And his family thinks that he is crazy. Needless to say, if we were to look at Jesus' work right now and look at a chart of results for Jesus' ministry at this point, Jesus is going to be out of a job. But that's what makes this parable so profound. The focus is not on results. The focus is on the liberally ridiculous nature of the sower and how he goes about planting his seeds. Back in Minnesota, or as we say, Minnesota, I remember being out in one of my gardens. We had three gardens up in Minnesota. And I was out there planting some corn with Nora and Lydia, our two daughters. And I was using a measuring tape in my obsessive compulsive ways. And I figured out that we had room in one of those gardens for three rows at 20 feet in length for sweet corn. And so I dug my channel just so and everything. And then the girls came along and they put in a seed and made sure that each seed was 6 inches apart to ensure that there was going to be spacing for the corn to grow. And then we took turns making sure that the soil was put over just so over those seeds. And then Nora was ever so dedicated in watering the plants, which both girls actually do all the watering to this day for all of the plants in the yard. And I'm really bummed because they're gone this weekend, and that means that we have to do the watering. And by we, I mean Emily. If I recall that story, actually, it does mean everything, that it did turn out to be one of the best yields that we did have for a sweet corn crop. As I think back to that, though, as we were working in the gardens, is that it wasn't long after that we were out driving and we saw that there were the tractors going along, and they were going along with their precision planters. And let me tell you something, if you want to talk about something that is impressive, take a look at a tractor and see the precision that these planters can now work with. Because I find this remarkable. Tractors are now guided by GPS for perfect planting of rows. Perfection. Where rows used to be as planted as much as 40 inches apart, now they are planted 20 inches apart. And now they are planted, seeds are planted, every single one is exactly 2 inches in depth. And now as they go along, depending on the width between the rows that they set, they determine how close those seeds need to be so that there are going to be just the amount of seeds planted so that it doesn't exhaust the soil. And they are doing it with the goal that there are going to be 30 to 32,000 plants per acre. And there are also going to be a goal of 200 to 250 bushels of corn per acre, oftentimes with yields seen north of 300 bushels an acre. North of 300 bushels of corn. That is a lot of corn, people, in an acre. And this is just remarkable, especially when I'm looking at my garden and it only had three rows in it that we had to plant by hand, every single one. But what we find in either case of a garden or a field is that we not only like to see results, is that we like to also know beforehand that we're going to get results. We strategically put the seed into the ground, spacing plants apart just so, with the expectation that there will indeed be a yield. In no way do we go into our planting season with the expectation that there will be some or even a majority of our crop that's going to be deemed a failure. Because anyone who goes into a gardening hobby or goes into the farming business with the expectation of being a failure, well, they're not going to be in that hobby or that line of work for very long, are they? But you see, our liberal sower goes even farther than the expectation of low yield of results. He doesn't seem to care. He doesn't seem to care where his seed lands as he throws them, nor does he seem to care how much seed he uses. Now, in the case of a garden, this doesn't seem to matter that much. I mean, my garden was pretty small, and so it really doesn't matter as much seed that you use in those instances, and so it's not going to be that much of a deal. But for a farmer, I mean, just imagine this for a second. If you've got a farmer and he's got this perfectly tilled field and he says, I'm not going to work there. I'm actually just going to go out in the back 40 and I'm just going to start throwing seed everywhere. I mean, just imagine the image. Actually, no, imagine the neighboring farmers and what they're going to think of that farmer as he goes and he says, I don't really care how much seed I use. I'm just going to go start throwing it every which way. I mean, some of the seed's going to fall on some of the path. Birds are going to come dive bombing down and they're going to eat it for a snack. Some of the seeds are going to fall amongst the rocks. They're going to get choked out. Some of the seeds are going to fall on thorns and they're not going to make it. And only a few of the seeds are actually going to make their way into soil where they're actually going to yield any sort of a harvest. Just imagine. We can't. We can't imagine it because no one in their right mind is ever going to do such a thing. And so it's no wonder that Jesus' family thinks he's crazy. Look at his approach to ministry. Look at the rejection results that he was getting. Their assessment of him being crazy, well, it was quite accurate. And that's just it. Jesus approaching his sowing the word of God is a liberal one. Focusing less on final results, he just keeps throwing the seed. He's not caring where it lands. He just wants to get the word of God out there. So zealous is he for the lost that he just keeps preaching and teaching the word with the hopes that every ear is going to hear and all will come to the knowledge of the truth. Because Jesus knows. Jesus knows that people will reject him. In fact, he not only knows that people will reject him, he expects it. He expects people will reject him, and he feels the pain as people reject him. Even though he has this life-saving word to share, he knows that people don't want it. They don't want the word because they don't want him. The Pharisees don't want him because he's a threat to their power. The crowds don't want him because, well, he wasn't everything that they were hoping that he would be. Remember, this is the crowd that on Palm Sunday started off and they shout, Hosanna. Well, that really was, well, save us now. Well, you're not saving us like we want you to save us. And so later on in the week, what do they yell? Crucify. And then his family, they don't want him because they were jealous of him and didn't want their reputation to be harmed by him. They don't want him. They don't want what he has to say. And so what does this mean for us? What does this mean for our life of witness? What does this mean for us? We are the Christians, and who are we called to follow? We are called to follow the liberal sower. We are called to follow the one who went to the cross and got rejected all the way to his tomb. Goes back to that question. How liberal are you? How liberal are you with the word of God? Are you like me in the garden with your measuring tape, trying to make sure that everything is just so before you engage in a caring conversation in the faith? You want to make sure that before you actually talk to somebody about what you believe. You want to make sure that everything is all figured out, that everything is just going to go just so, because, well, what if it doesn't? What if something goes wrong? What if they say something that might, well, it might be uncomfortable? What if they say something that might make me uncomfortable? What if they reject me? The what ifs just start piling up? Or are you like those farmers that go into it with all of the technology available outside of a bad weather system, mind you, and they want to know the results before the planting even begins? So we want to know all the answers and all the results before we actually enter into the conversation. Is that how we approach our witness? We want to know the results before we get there. And I know farmers, they certainly don't know the results, but there's a lot more technology in the game today than there were in the years past. You see, in so many ways, our life of witness has become paralyzed by the fact that we want to know the results before we enter the process. We are far more conservative than we are liberal in sharing the word of God. And so what ends up becoming the question is do we even have a love for the lost? If we're not even willing to engage in those conversations with those that we love and care about, I'm not going to bring it up anymore. I'm not going to go there. We're going to keep it safe. We're going to keep it easy. How liberally also is the word of God sown into your life? I got Pastor Martin and I were at a conference and we were actually asked the question or brought up everything. It's not how much you've been through the word of God, it's how much the word of God has been through you. And so it's interesting to bring that up because, you know, one of the things that y'all know that I brought up a lot is are you in Bible class? Because the health of a congregation is the congregation not only in worship together, are they in the Word together? So are you coming early to be in the Word together as a family of faith? Are you in the Word together in your homes? Because that's the health not only of a congregation, that's the health of its people. And so individually, in your households, as a family of faith, these are the things are your utmost priority, because how can you expect to share your faith if you're not actually in the Word itself? We look at times when we've been bold enough to share God's Word, and what we see is just like Jesus' experience, there's a lot more failures than there are successes. We've been rejected just like Jesus was, ignored. We've been made fun of, you name it. And so we think, why bother? Why not just keep to ourselves? Why not just be silent? But you see, Jesus experienced the same thing. He experienced rejection. He experienced being made fun of. And so a lot of times we conclude to ourselves of, well, we just don't want to offend anyone. But you see, when we're following Christ, we see that the liberal sower isn't concerned with offending anyone because he's well aware that the message that he has to share is in fact offensive. The message of the cross is offensive. The message that we're sinners is offensive. When you came here today as sinners and found out that you were going to be exposed with the fact that you're sinners in need of a Savior, that's an offensive message. No one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear their sinful failures. It's not a popular message, and yet it needs to be heard. But you see, that's what makes the gospel so beautiful. Jesus did come into those streets to those shouts of Hosanna for the sole purpose of saving us now, for the sole purpose of forgiving us, for the sole purpose of being crucified. The one who liberally sows the seed of his word and is rejected by all. Oh, he's the one who lays down his life to save us all. Though he knows that the majority are going to fail to follow him, he still sows the word into our lives. He still spreads his salvation. And now he's calling you. Now he's calling me. He's calling us to do the same thing. And he's not calling you to do it with great precision. He's not saying to get perfect results. He's not saying that you have to have all the answers before you go into the conversation. His call is not for you to try and focus on being perfect. There is a Savior. You're not him, and nor am I. So guess what? John Maxwell once wrote a book. It was called Fail Forward. I absolutely love the book, everything, because quite frankly, my biggest fear is failure, and I do a lot of it. But I love the context of that book. Think about it. That's what we do, people. We fail forward. We jump forward and we just simply say, you know what? Christ has me. Christ has this. He's got this conversation. He's got you. He's got this person. He's got this all in his pierced hands. And his call is simply for you to go and spread the word liberally and leave the results to him. We heard it in our Old Testament reading. He said, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God's word never fails. Never. Though the results may not always appear that way sometime. The liberal sower named Jesus shows us otherwise. No matter the results, the word is constantly at work. The writer of the Hebrews writes, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Last time I checked, that's pretty sharp. Piercing the division of soul and of spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so listen to this. Jesus knows your heart. He knows you're scared. He knows what's weighing heavily on your heart. He knows the people that you love. He knows the people you're concerned about. He knows the people that are placed before you. He knows the ones that you are concerned about. He knows what you need to engage in those conversations. He also knows what that person that you need to engage with, he also knows what they need to. And he is a God who provides. He's given you his spirit. In the water and the word of baptism, that spirit that was the same one given to the apostles is the same spirit that lives and dwells in you. Leave the results to him. That's his category. Lean on him. Lean on him. Trust in him. Dwell in his word. Dive deeply. Share it liberally. And trust that his will, in his time, in his ways, will be done. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.